there's a question of when it will irreversibly catch fire, but there's no question of if.
Hey, I'm super excited to introduce this video. It's with Crockett Dunn, a big part of the Technology and Startups Growth Network. He's been with us before. And we're going to hear him tap into two things. The first is, well, just what he's talking about, which is how to use Alexa voice skills to get in on the ground floor of what might be a new sales channel for you. And the second thing that might not be as obvious, but you can listen for, is how a futurist, a technologist like Crockett, looks ahead in time, discovers what the ground floor is, what are the opportunities that you don't want to miss. So listen for that as well. Hey, you have done it again. You found Tech and Startups, the number one place for all technology leaders, whether you're a founder, CEO, or a CTO. This is the spot for you. So if you haven't been here before, go ahead and like this video, subscribe to the channel so that the updates appear in your feed, and we'd love it if you dropped in a comment about your thoughts about what you're about to see.
I'm here. I'm actually wildly fascinated by this, and we've talked a little bit. I wanna propose an idea to you, Crockett, and have you build it up or knock it down if I could.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my thinking, and then we'll bring it back because this is gonna come right back to the sale. So I have a theory, and it's this theory, and I'm gonna zoom out first and then we'll zoom back in. The zoom out is this. When people make predictions about the future of technology, they skip something. They skip adoption. So they think about what's possible. Good futurists take the technology of today and they try to think 5-10 steps of what the technology could evolve into. And so they say things like, hey, so we've got these cameras on our phones and we've got all this data about the world. And so people could use the camera on the phone to show them data about the world in front of them. And people could walk around scanning. And we could even put that in glasses, a la Google Glass, right? And project information back. And they say, yeah, that's the technological possibility. Mm-hmm. But the evolution of technology doesn't just happen because of the next possibility in technology, what technology is capable of. It happens because of the adoption of the technology. We could have flying cars everywhere right now. We've got the technology for it. We don't because we don't have the necessary adoption of it. We don't have the infrastructure for it. It doesn't make sense. In fact, electric cars, we could have been on the electric car thing a long time ago, did not have the infrastructure. Only now do we have electric cars that can really travel on what? Our infrastructure, our current infrastructure.
Yeah.
And so I can visualize all these things, but I need the adoption. So that's the context is, I have a belief that if you are a technology futurist and you are making predictions about the technology and ignoring the next step in the adoption, then you're wrong. Then you're just wrong. So zooming in a little bit more, what I see among especially everybody, I'm going to say, but among especially a younger demographic of people, what I observe in my life is voice communication constantly. There's always an earbud in, whether it's one headphone in or an AirPod or something, there's always this earbud in. And I observe, especially younger people, speaking messages to their friends, speaking to their phone and receiving feedback in their ear. So where technologists talk about augmented reality as being this visual thing, it's going to be the glasses. I'm always going to have data projected in front of me. I think, no, we're already doing it with it's augmentation via audio. We do it with audio navigation. Mm-hmm. We do it with like you were saying, call my friend. Now it's talk to my friend, listen to a message from my friend. I'm listening to the YouTube video or the podcast. Podcast adoption, huge, right? That's an audio augmentation that's happening, not a video augmentation that's happening. And so I want to let's start right there. That's my argument.
That's a great argument.
What do you think?
I think you're dead on. So this printing on water, Tim Smith, I can share it with the group. I reached out to him and I get to have coffee with him now. He's like, oh my gosh, how did you find that? I was like, archive.org, baby. He's like, I'll send you a real copy. But he goes all the way back to before print, back when it was just story, and talks about what may have been lost with print, and then the democratization then print and mass print, the democratization, and the printing press was created for a while, but there wasn't a literate public. So we have to have a literate public you have to have a people that need it and want it. And you're exactly right. When I was in civil engineering school, supposed to be studying civil engineering, but instead playing on the internet because it was awesome. Mm-hmm. This guy, he's like, transportation is never an end in itself. Remember that. Technology is never an end in itself. But it's so awesome.
I love that. And so true too of like the mobile phone, for example, the smartphone. Smartphones existed several years before the iPhone came out. But I would argue that like one, people always say, oh, Apple, wow, you're so great at the user experience of it. You really make the marketing, the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, totally great. And also coming at a time when the masses are more maybe literate in technology, right? So I think there's a melding there. Yeah. Apple, those guys, what geniuses in user experience, but also what great timing in the technology literacy of the masses.
There is timing, but man, when say like Microsoft starts beating this drum of cloud in around like 2003, 2004, you know it's coming and it's here, and Amazon is the one beating the drum now, and people are following. So there's a question of when it will irreversibly catch fire, mm-hmm. but there's no question of if.
So let's bring that back home. So now that I feel like we've really established that like the irreversible, the catching fire, like the fire has started and it's going to explode. It's going to be we're hearing the word pandemic a lot.
We'll all be in the burn unit of the voice user interface.
Yeah, I like that. And Crockett, I've heard you say in other presentations and just in conversations that we had, this is the early movers advantage time now. If you want to make sales, if you want to explode, if you want to be the marketing genius and take full advantage of this, now is the best time, right?
Especially
now,
before the barriers for entry are constructed, before the walls go up and the moats are created. Mm-hmm. Right now,
Could you dive in, because we only got about 5 minutes, could you dive into one or two tips, tricks, or techniques to get in right now? How can I get in on making money, on making sales off of Alexa and other voice technology in the next, like, say 3 month time frame? What do I need to do?
Sure. I can't give specific brands. I mean, I not that I won't, I really don't know in my mind the prices, but there are skill generators. So even without a programmer, if you can write an algorithm, you can flowchart an interactive Alexa skill and publish it to the Amazon Alexa skill store as a private development skill, and then get it approved and released to the public, which is just basically, it has to pass some basic testing.
And what's an example of a skill that's gonna make me sales?
A skill this really depends on who you are and what you're doing. And so there are direct sales through Amazon. So it may be affiliate types of things would be the first opportunity. So first you have to decide, are you selling stuff? I don't think we're quite there yet for selling stuff, but there's in-skill purchasing, in-skill subscriptions. And one thing that is not often mentioned is it's not just a voice device. Everybody, if you use Alexa, you have an app on your phone and it can push links and cards to send you other places on your phone. So right now the highest grossing skills are freemium models for those audio content, like ambient sounds I mentioned. The other high grossing skills are, there was a guy making, this is kind of hype, but there's one of the first movers that was also getting developer rewards and sales, was making $10,000 a month just on his Alexa skills while he was in school.
Yeah. And you, that's amazing. So just selling skills that sell, is one. And then you've mentioned, I'm sure you don't want to mention your partners or clients by name, but that is, you know, we'll avoid that. But you were working with a client who, has a software product, right? Software and maybe a hardware product. And you were saying, hey, when you talk to Alexa about what that software does, they make a suggestion for a competitor, but these guys, they have an opportunity that if their skill is promoted, the skill's free, perhaps, but it directs a consumer to the opportunity of this software or hardware product.
Right. So those are the real opportunities right now. It's still brand marketing. It's mm-hmm. part of an assisted conversion if we're thinking about conversions. And not everyone knows that when you build a skill, you can tag it with saying, hey, this is the question I answer. And that is huge because Alexa skills are like apps. You need to explicitly install them, but it can also suggest them. So the example Alex is talking about is there was the leading fitness tracker body metrics provider. You would say, hey, tell me about my sleep last night, and it would recommend their competitor because they hadn't properly tagged their skill to say, I answer, how was my sleep last night? And that you can tag it. That's how, if someone says, hey, tell me where to eat, it says, hey, do you want to install the restaurant finder or something? So fitting with the title of this talk, Sales Channel, to really answer that question, you've got to sit down and block out some time to think about the clients, think about the why, not be distracted by the technology, and really just think about what you can offer and brainstorm. And it's unique because the possibilities are so large. It's unique to every company, you know, because it's a dialogue you can have or a command.
Mm. That makes a lot of sense. So it seems like to me, what you're saying is if I'm a company that has a popular product or service, that someone would be tempted to ask a voice technology about, like, how was my sleep last night? Or where can I get pizza? How can I, you know, even maybe what plumber? Where's a plumber? My pipes are broken, something like that. Anything that someone could feasibly want to ask these voice technology, if you're in there right now, you're the first one in the index. You're the first one in the index. It's like if Google only had 100 choices in the whole index anyway. Right now they have Google. You do a Google search, you're competing with what? A million? A billion results?
Right.
But you're doing a voice activated search with this with an Amazon device. You're now competing with a catalog of like what? 1,000 things, 10,000 things, and mm-hmm. how many of them have anything to do with you? Like 3 or fewer, right? So you're the first mover in this.
Yeah. And if I had more bandwidth, if I had someone else running my business right now, I would go in and just systematically ask questions of Alexa and see which ones were crowded and which ones weren't, and go out and sell to the ones that weren't.
Sounds like a great place for delegation.
Now here's a riddle for you. What does Tesla's founder president and Groupon's founding CEO have in common? They were both removed from the companies they started. Stay with me for another, I don't know, minute, and understand this. More than 3 out of 4 founders are ousted from their role before year 5. That's before IPO, before acquisition, before wild adoption. And as a result, you leave potentially millions of dollars on the table for your successor to pick up. But that won't be you, right? Imagine how good it will feel to carry out your vision for your org as a leader for years to come. Are you a founder of a software startup with a live product and a team? If so, can you see yourself learning to grow alongside your company? I've been working with founders and Fortune 100 companies for a decade, and I have a gift for you. It's free. It's a webinar, and it explains why CEOs and other founders are essentially removed from your company and what you need to do to stay. Move now. Click the link in the description to transform from a founder CEO to a growth CEO, to scale your org, keep your money, and have a worldwide impact. The link to the free webinar is in the description, and I'll see you on the other side.
I'm so glad you joined us today. If this video was helpful, give it a like.
go ahead and subscribe and hit the bell so that tech and startup videos continue to show up in your feed. I'll see you in the other videos.